Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. This is a time, actually the third time, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, that in Matthew, that Jesus is teaching the crowds. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and planted in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it's grown, it's the largest of all vegetable plants. It becomes a tree so that birds in the sky come and nest in its branches. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, which a woman took and hid in a bushel of wheat flour until the yeast had worked its way through all the dough. Jesus said these things to the crowds in parables, and he spoke to them only in parables. This was to fulfill what the prophet spoke. I'll speak in parables. I'll declare what has been hidden since the beginning of the world. For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Do you remember what fun, what great fun it was, and for some of you, it is, especially on a summer evening, to play hide and seek? The adrenaline rush of finding just the right hiding place and then trying to stay quiet so nobody found you. The suspense of stealthily seeking, the squeals of laughter when you were found, and then racing the seeker back to home base. It was so much fun. Think about all the stories you've read or seen about finding hidden treasure. Or even perhaps the love of research or discovery as an adult that you might find in your work, in what you do, discovering something new in science or a new formula as a mathematician or a new environmentally savvy way of building a building or new ways of helping with the social justice situation. A new client or a customer to help. New plot twists as a writer or word pictures as a poet. New chord progressions as a musician. At times when we finally discover what we are looking for, we marvel. Well, that was there all along, hidden in plain sight. We just had to look from a different angle or perspective, turn over one more stone, either literally or metaphorically. And there it was. Parables, as Brooklyn was telling us, are wisdom hidden in plain sight by using comparison, setting two unlike things side by side. Jesus used parables all the time to teach the crowds and his disciples. Because he was steeped in the Hebrew scripture use of mashal, enigmatic language whose meaning was not immediately apparent. It's apparent. It was riddle-like. It was language intended to tease the mind into insight rather than communicate a simple idea by means of an illustration. The mashal of Hebrew scriptures and the parables of Jesus were both meant to conceal and reveal the wisdom and the activity of God. Now, why do that? Why do Jesus and the prophets speak of concealing and revealing? Why don't you just say what you mean, Jesus? I think wise ones down through the centuries, through all traditions, knew that riddles and the odd comparisons of parables and language that tease the mind and heart slow us down as humans. We need to listen as human beings, not human doings. We can get so busy accomplishing and building and making and doing whatever needs to be done that we forget to slow down and listen. A well-told parable or a story or a riddle or poetic image slows us down. We must take time to contemplate, to consider the meanings in our heads and let the wisdom sink down into our hearts. This is a sacred activity. It's the activity of the holy, of God. The wisdom of the divine is not taught so much as experienced. So Jesus tells the crowds, the kingdom of heaven, or rather God's activity in the world, is like a tiny mustard seed planted in the soil. Something hidden happens there in the darkness of the soil, and the seed begins to grow. The seed grows into the largest of plants, as large as a tree, and it is shelter for many living creatures. What happens to that seed in the dark? Well, you know. We know that inside the seed, there's the possibility of new life. There's an embryo plant. With the right amount of water, the seed splits open and a root starts to grow down to find more water, and a sprout starts to break the surface of the soil to find the sunlight so that the process of photosynthesis can begin. This happens so much and so often as a part of life around us that we might not stop to think about how amazing it is. But it is amazing. And hidden as it is, seed growth is a small pattern for the holy work of creation. Nothing would survive on earth without this pattern, would it? It's a pattern that we can emulate in our faith journey. So Jesus tells us another parable. The kingdom of heaven, God's activity in the world, is like yeast hidden in flour dough that causes the dough to grow, to double, to triple in size until it can feed more people than we can possibly imagine. Especially in Jesus' parable, because he says, as in the Common English Bible, that it was hidden in a bushel of wheat flour. We don't usually use a bushel if we want to make a loaf of bread, do we? No. But hidden in a bushel, oh, imagine. That's a lot of bread. Jesus wants us to know that God's activity is so small, like yeast, and yet it activates so much. We know that yeast is a single-celled microorganism. It's millions of years old. It reproduces by budding, a new cell growing on the first cell, and so on and so forth. And when we add it to flour and other bread ingredients and starts to feed on the sugars in those ingredients, creating the rising action, this action is hidden in bread making. It is another small pattern of the holy work of creation. It is a pattern we can emulate in our faith journey. If the kingdom of heaven, the activity of God, is like a mustard seed or like yeast, then God's activity in the world is seemingly small and concealed. Yet mysteriously, through the energy, I think, of God's love, God's hidden activity grows exponentially and is revealed as powerfully nourishing. I find this pattern fascinating. It reminds me of a new word I learned in the last month, fractals. It reminds me of fractals. Some of you scientists and mathematicians already know this word. Fractals are never-ending patterns found repeating in creation. Examples of fractals are the spiral patterns in our fingertips that show up as spirals in the galaxies, patterns in ferns that show up in tree branches, patterns in river deltas that are in the very structures of our lungs, A fractal is a pattern that is micro. A fractal is pattern in the micro that is reflected in the macro, and vice versa. Thinking metaphorically, each human being made in the image of God would be a fractal of the Holy One. We are not God, but we hold the patterns of God within us. So we need to pay attention. American author, social activist, philosopher, and feminist Grace Lee Boggs, who lived all the way to 100 years old, wrote, "Transform yourself to transform the world." Transform yourself to transform the world. This is thinking of change at the fractal level, at the seed level, at the level of yeast. Now, I know that in this faith community, we want to transform the world through God's love and justice. I mean, we just heard this announcement about our student welcoming event next week. Our first step, though, must be allowing our own transformation through God's love and justice. Are we allowing the nurturing presence of God into our own hearts and souls? As a seed allows in water and sunlight to grow and mature into the plant that it's meant to be? Are we allowing the yeast of God's Spirit to grow within our lives, inspiring exponential growth that keeps us nourished as we keep on keeping on for justice? Just as we slow down to hear parables, we must slow ourselves down to attend to the slow work of God inside of us, transforming our fear and greed and false ego and self-esteem that can be either too low or too high. The Holy One will bring transformation in unexpected ways if we slow down and pay attention through prayer and spiritual practice and study and service and faithful fellowship and worship. It's a spiral process. For as we slow down to attend to our own change, we are also part of a systemic change. Automatically, without any organizing or activism, though those are very important things, our transformation influences and catalyzes systemic change without us even knowing at times. Adrienne Marie Brown, see, I told you you'd hear her name again last time I preached. Adrienne Marie Brown writes, as we speak of systemic change, we need to be fractal. Fractals, a way to speak of the patterns we see, move from the micro to the macro. So how do we work in community, in this faith community, like fractal patterns of God, like the activity of seeds and yeast? I was thinking about this, and I don't have an analytic answer for you, a spreadsheet. However, I see the patterns. You all volunteer for ministries in our community, from faith family hospitality to children's Sunday school to youth group to making cookies and helping them serve them after memorial service to being a deacon or a trustee to working with immigrants and welcoming low-income and international students back to campus to praying for one another. I could go on and on, couldn't I? About all the patterns of God's activity in the world that I see hidden and then revealed in our community. It's happening. And so I must assume that the transformations of God's activity in your lives is happening as well. Hidden, precious, intimate, and yet revealed through your faith and in your faith works. So keep on keeping on. There's one more place, one more reveal that I have wondered about. It's this: a beloved community covenant. This year, our theme from the Leadership Council is beloved community. Now, over the years, we have declared through the UCC processes, through study, discussion, and prayer, and finally through a vote, that we are a peace with justice congregation, an open and affirming congregation, and an immigrant welcoming congregation. And we strive to live into these declarations. Now, the UCC doesn't offer an official process for being a beloved community congregation. But there are UCC churches that have community covenants in which they have, through discussion and study and prayer and discernment, laid out a covenant, a written covenant, saying, this is how we will relate to one another through God's love and justice. Your staff here at Plymouth has an official covenant that we remind ourselves of from time to time. In our staff relationships, we will, one, speak to a colleague, not about, in the case of conflict. Two, once a decision is made in staff meeting, we stand shoulder to shoulder in upholding it. And three, we always assume the best of our colleagues in their intentions and actions. What if we took to heart that as a faith community, we are a fractal, a pattern of the greater communities of the world itself? Now, we know the stresses and conflicts, the divisiveness of our culture and our world. If the micro can mirror and transform the macro, what if we extended the covenant we make in membership into a beloved community covenant as a pathway to greater transformation within us and within our wider world? What if, in taking this to heart, we had a stated beloved community covenant created through prayer and study and discussion and consensus that we refer to when tough times happen and there are disagreements in discernment about our way forward as church? What if we could always go back to this covenant that has come out of the transforming hearts and minds and lives of beloved individuals, of you? What if this beloved community covenant reminded us that we hold the seeds, the fractals, the microcosm of God's love and justice within us as we are in relationship with one another? What if? How might we be transformed as a faith community and be allowing for, mirroring, catalyzing greater transforming activity in God's wider world? What might happen if we truly live out the kingdom of heaven, the activity of God, the good news of the parables Jesus proclaimed? What if? What if we succeeded in revealing that God's beloved community is here among us and within us and is active in the world? What if? Amen and amen.